This is quite a conversation, Gordon. I'm really appreciating it. Many of your albums include choral pieces. In fact, nearly all of them include other people besides yourself, and sometimes choruses of people. It would seem to me that you studied choral music in college, but I don't even know if you went to college, and I don't know what you studied if you did. So I'm curious about your interest in choral music, adding choral pieces and ensembles to what would be considered folk music. Where did that come from, and why do you think it's important?
Oh, where it came from, I never did study it. A woman taught me how to read music twice in my life out of the goodness of her heart. She was a wonderful teacher, and she just took me on, and when I forgot how to do it, she taught me again a couple years later. I tried college, but I didn't last a year, so I wasn't learning much there. I've always enjoyed, you know, singing with other people. I helped start the Quasimodal Chorus. That started with some tapes. We made it at my house in the winter, pass it around amongst our friends just to keep them from shooting at each other. That grew into, thanks to Jan Harmon, it grew into the Quasimodal Chorus. And there you go, you've got it. And we just started writing. Various ones of us would write down songs or arrange them for four-part harmony or whatever. We had a bunch of sitting ducks willing to try anything. That's how that sort of evolved. And important, I think, there is nothing better for people than to sing with each other. It's one of the great gifts they can give to themselves and to the world.
And during our pandemic, especially the first part of it, it was something we couldn't do. What effect did that have on you and your friends, your singing partners? What did you do instead?
Oh, they tried singing on Zoom. I'll do Zoom for something like this, but I don't enjoy trying to sing with it. And I also try to limit the amount of time I'm sitting in front of anything, the screen in particular. I have to, really. I've got too much arthritis to spend any more time sitting still.
I thank you for your patience and your endurance in this conversation. I very much appreciate it, and I understand what you mean exactly from my own personal experience. A couple of people you have sung with a lot, I don't know if they're still living, I hope they are, Anne Mayo Muir and Ed Trickett. They were important. Talk about them a bit, if you could.
Ed just died a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would say suddenly, it was suddenly for a lot of us. He'd been living in Florida where his wife is working. She's a professor, Dr. Berman. And he was a psychologist and a well-known one. He sang on the side, and he was a great gatherer of songs. He found very interesting songs and kept those going. And Anne and I, we'd been singing together a few years, but she was married and had two kids, lived in Connecticut, and I was working the boats in the summer and working in Philadelphia in the winter. Anytime I would come by, I'd stop at her place, and her husband would take care of the kids, and we would sing sometimes for 20 hours straight. We would just make music as long as we could, and then I'd trundle off. When her husband had to go back to work, I'd trundle off to Philly. We did that for a while. We'd been doing some concerts together, you know, within an hour's drive of her place, really. Ed was a student at Trinity College, where her husband was the admissions director. She heard him sing at a gathering and convinced him to send me a tape, and we started corresponding by tapes, Ed and I. And the next thing you know, we were getting together, the three of us, and having learned mutual songs, and we started putting them together and realized how much fun that was. And Annie, the odd thing about it was I met her at a ski resort, and I cannot imagine a more rare occurrence than for me to be at a ski resort. But a student of mine, who's a great skier, said one day, "You need a break. Bob, you need a break. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to drive to Killington. The new ski resort starting up there. I know the guy who's doing it. You will sing. Maybe we can play a little bit. That gets you free beer and lift tickets. I'll take your lift tickets. They'll put us up, and we'll get a free weekend out of it, except for the gas. for the hell of it, said yes. Well, that's where I met Annie. She was on the ski patrol there and singing in the evening sometime. Just the minute we heard each other, totally smitten with the songs and that each other was singing them. It turns out my mother kept asking about the, Annie's middle name, Mayo, and Ma said, ask her sometime, did she know anyone named Esther Mayo? So when I finally got around to that, she said, well, Esther Mayo's my mother. Her mother and my mother had been roommates for 1 year and loved each other, got totally out of touch, you know, for the last many years. Annie's mother had, Esther had just contracted cancer when they finally got together again because of us. Now, how far-fetched is that?
It's quite far-fetched, and yet on the other hand, we make the world the size that it is suitable for us, and these coincidences, if you look into them, maybe they're not quite so surprising. We need to play a song here, and the next one on our list is Muscle in the Corner. Would you like to play that one? Tell us about it, I mean.
Yeah, I used to play a lot of traditional music. I played for dances and stuff. Captain Hawkins also played the fiddle, and we would stir up dances in some of the island towns we'd stop in. And that's the kind of thing. We used to play Ragtime Annie together. I don't know if we ever played Muscles in the Corner together, but it's the kind of song you'd hear in Newfoundland. Even if people didn't have instruments, it was like Porche de Ville. They would sing words to keep the rhythm going.
Yo, out all day in the boggy too. Deed, I am in love with yo, muscles in the corner. I took Jenny to a ball, Jenny couldn't dance at all. Sailed her up alongside the wall, left her there till Sunday. Deed, I am in love with yo, out all day in the boggy too. Deed, I am in love with yo, muscles in the corner. All the people from Belle Isle that don't get up till 9:30, wash their face in kerosene oil. Polly, you're a corker. Deed, I am in love with you. Out all day in the boggy dew. Deed, I am in love with you. Muscles in the corner. Here they come, the thick as flies. Dirty shirts and dirty ties. Dirty rings around their eyes. Dirty old torpay men. I am in love with you, out all day in the foggy dew. Deed, I am in love with you, muscles in the corner. Here they come as white as ghosts, bathing in their little boats. It's a wonder that they float, dirty old torpay men. Deed, I am in love with you, out all day in the foggy dew. Deed, I am in love with you, muscles in the corner. Ask a bayman for a smoke, he will say his pipe is broke. Ask a bayman for a chew, he will bite it off for you. Deed, I am in love with you, out all day in the foggy dew. Deed, I am in love with you, muscles in the corner.
Gordon, you like to make things, and two things I want to talk about that you make. One I read about, I don't know what it is, but it is the Bach whistle.
Oh, yeah. I learned how to play the whistle way back on the schooners. I always wanted a deeper one, so I made them out of all sorts of stuff, everything from drilled out bronze shaft to paper mache, and I ended up using a plastic plumbing pipe and making a bunch of different whistles there that you could play in different keys down to a low C, I think it was. Two different mouthpieces to handle the different diameters. They were fun. Then I went to the chalamba because I couldn't play whistle and sing at the same time. And you could play the gamba or the play a bowed instrument and sing with that, and that was fun.
And I was actually impressed. The viola da gamba is an instrument I associate with early music, rather ancient musical forms, and you've brought it into the music that you perform and record. You're also a woodcarver. You know, you got tools from your mother, and you exhibit, even today, I believe you do anyway, there's works of yours. I don't know if they're for sale, but at least they're to be seen online.
Yeah, they're for sale, and I've had quite a few shows, I guess, over the years, not showing anywhere right now except on the website, but I'm still carving. I'm in the middle of a commission for a fishing family on the West Coast. Still enjoying it. It's slow with my hands the way they are, but I'm still whittling away.
Whittling, you call it, huh? It's more than whittling. Besides the Bach whistle, you have made other instruments.
More designed them. I built a couple instruments with Nick Apollonio, but he ended up using a lot of power tools and I didn't. So he kept on building and was always willing to build something if I designed it. And we designed instruments together and he would build them. He's sort of the Evel Knievel of the luthier family. He'd try anything. And he's made all the 12 strings I play came from a design that myself and Sam Tibbetts came up with, mostly Sam. And Nick developed that into those beautiful big 12 strings.
Gordon, what is it about singing for you and maybe for everyone, including people who don't sing? Why is singing more than just speaking?
Well, it feels better. It lifts the heart out. It sort of does whatever you need doing at the time, really. And it gets your breath moving and it gets your body vibrating. It's just a wonderful thing to do.
You'll do it till you die.
I hope so.
The last song we're going to have, and we're going to play this after I say goodbye to you, is Peter Kagan and the Wind. I had no knowledge of this song. A friend gave me a number of your albums, and so I was working my way through them and came upon Peter Kagan and the Wind. It's been on KPTZ twice by me, and there's another one of my colleagues here who loves it as well. But it's quite an impressive piece, demonstrating storytelling and song and demonstrating the 12 string. And one of the things that so much impresses me is how you bring the tempest, because it's a stormy night that Peter Kagan is on the water, how you bring the storm alive with your 12-string guitar. Is that something you heard someone else do, or did you just figure this out for yourself?
Not really, although I know that's what the old bards used to do. They used to talk and sing and play at the same time. Kagan took me, I would say, well over a year to write. I can't tell you much about it, because when I write, I go into a kind of a zone that I don't have any real recall afterwards of how I thought of this or that. So it just kind of grew organically out of me. I do remember pulling off to the side of the road off and on tours to write down something that needed doing in Peter Kagan and the Wind.
Is that a piece you perform?
Yeah, I did for quite a few years, and then I kind of moved on to other things. And when I recorded it, I did it all in one take. But it was based on the old Seal legends.
Gordon, I need to give this studio to someone else, and I think you're probably ready to quit looking at the screen and maybe you want to get your hands doing something else. So I just very much want to thank you for our conversation here. Now we're going to put together a show that will be aired on KPTZ on the 5th of June. People are hearing me say the 5th of June. It is the day that they'll be listening to this. And we'll have other opportunities for them to hear it as well, and for you. Quite a special thing for me. I had a show before. I had schemed on trying to get you to Port Townsend, actually, before the pandemic. The show that I was hosting died with the pandemic. By the time I got around to thinking about it anyway, you would quit touring. So I had given up on ever having you on the air and ever having a chance to talk to you. And so the pandemic, in a way, in a perverse, crazy way, did me a favor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I've enjoyed this. It would be fun to get together with you and talk boats sometime.
We can meet in Kansas, or you can come out to, bet you don't go to Kansas very often, do you?
Well, like the mermaid said to Charlie, if you want me, you got to come in, because I ain't going to come out.
Well, I've been to Maine once, and maybe I'll come to Maine again. It's been a real pleasure, Gordon. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Peter Kagan was a lonely man in the summer of his years. But then one day he got tired of being lonely, and he went away off to the East'ard. And when he came again, he had a wife with him. She was strange, you know, but she was kind, and people liked her. And she was good for Kagan. She kept him company. And winter come to summer, they were happy. Kagan had a dory then. He had a lug sail on her. He'd go offshore for 3-4 days, setting for the fish. But oh, his wife was sad then. She never liked to see him go. She'd go down and call to him. Kagan, 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 bring the dory home. The wind and sea do follow. He said that he could hear her singing 20 miles to sea, and when he heard her, he'd come home if he had fish or none. She was a seal, you know. Everyone knew that. Even Kagan, he knew that. But nobody would say it to him. Then one day in that year's autumn, Kagan says, I got to go now. Go offshore and get some fish. But she says, no, don't go away. She starts crying, please don't go. The wind is coming and the snow. Kagan, 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 don't go out to sea. The stormy wind and snow do come, and oh, but I do fear for thee. But Kagan's not afraid of snow. It's early in the year. He puts his oars in, and he goes to sea. Kagan sails out on the middle ground. The wind is west all day and going down. The fish are coming to him. Kagan reads the writing on the water and the sky. He sees the haze up very high above the clouds. He says, that's all right for autumn. Only a change of wind. I'm not afraid of wind. But Kagan reads it wrong this time. The wind goes away and then comes back southeast. The fog comes round him. Kagan says, I better go now. Find that gong buoy off the sunken ledges, then I'll know the best way home. He puts the sail up, and he bears away to the Norrid for the gong. Oh, the wind is watching. The wind backs round to the east'ard and breezes on. They sail along time, and the sail is pulling very hard.
so strong the sail tears out.
Kagan takes it in, and the dory goes adrifting. But then he hears the gong buoy. It isn't very far away. Away. Kagan says, okay. He puts the oars in and he starts to row back up for the gong. And oh, the wind is watching. The wind backs round northeast and makes the seas confused. Listen, I got something to tell you. Kagan rowing, I don't want to hear it. The wind humps up now, makes the seas short. Makes it hard for him to row. Finally, the seas are so steep, Kagan knows he isn't getting anywhere. He takes the oars in, and the dory goes adrifting now. Kagan says, okay, now I got something to show you. He takes a slip of wood to make a needle. He waxes up the hand line for a thread. He sews the sail up smaller, he sews a reef in it. Wind says, what you doing? Kagan says, you keep watching. Kagan puts the sail up now and he bears away to the Norad for the gong. Oh, the wind is watching now. Wind backs north northeast. Kagan can't hold his course now. Kagan says, okay then. He brings the boat about. Now he's steering east. The wind says, you're heading out to sea. Kagan says, I'm not afraid of water. I'll come about by and by when I can fetch that gong. I'll veer on you. I'll go east again. Kagan says, you go ahead, then I can hold my course again. The wind says, I'll back. Kagan says, you back too far and you'll have to clear, you know that. I can keep ahead of you. You may be smarter, but I'm stronger. You watch. The wind gets bigger, blows harder. Finally, there's too much wind. The sail says, I can't do it. Kagan says, I know that. Thank you. He takes the sail in, and the dory goes adrifting. Gagin takes the sail off the yard. He pulls it round him. Now you keep me warm. The wind says he can't keep you warm. The wind snatches off north by east. I'll freeze you. Gagin says, I'm not afraid of cold. But Gagin is afraid. He doesn't know what to do. Oh, the wind is working now. The wind brings ice and snow. Says, I'm dying, sail, keep me warm. The sail says, I can't do it, Peter. Gagin dying, and the wind blows. So Gagin lies down in the bottom of the boat and tries not to be afraid of the dying. And he dreamed of her then, of his wife. He dreamed she was coming to him. He heard a great calling down the wind, and he lifted his head and he saw her coming to him. As down the smoking sea she came, and over the rail of the dory she came, and laughing to his arms. So in the morning they found him, asleep, with a sail wrapped around him. And there was a seal lying with him, curled over him like a blanket there. And the snow was upon the seal.
And Peter Kagan and the Wind, quite an impressive piece of playing the 12-string guitar and telling the tale, singing the song. I've listened to that many times over, and every time I listen to it, as such a work would likely be, it's different. Not different, I guess, but there's something that I haven't heard before. The next song, we're going to have three more songs of Gordon Bach's, and then we're going to have music, instrumental music, to fill the spaces in between. I'm going to make those spaces, and they will be filled. This first song is titled A Song for Angela, and it was composed by Bill Gallagher. And he says about his song, the docudrama For Angela told the story of a young First Nation Cree woman in Winnipeg who was on her way to school one day on a city bus with her mother when they were harassed by three white teenage boys. This was done with such utter cruelty that it put thoughts in the little girl's mind no child should have to bear. That night, feeling profoundly ashamed of her heritage, she skipped quietly into her bedroom where she found scissors and cut off her beautiful hair. The scene was so moving, it stirred my soul. So this is a song for Angela.
A cold wind's blowing, Angela, do up your coat against the chill, and pay no mind to things you hear, they're mindless calls of whippoorwills. I know some hurtful words were said, and that they made you feel ashamed. They've got you tangled in their web. Don't let them cause you so much pain. But believe the time can heal the hurting. The shadows disappear, and so will all the scars. One day you'll look inside and know just who you are. Though sometimes the seeing isn't easy. And scattered on the floor. One day you'll grow them back again. Shadows disappear, and so will all the scars. One day you'll look inside and know just who you are. Though sometimes the seeing isn't easy, Angela, Angela. And scattered on the floor. One day you'll let them grow again. One day your pride will rise and soar.
Surrey dock. One day when the mate knew it was time to get underway, he's homeward bound, but he's out of luck, 'cause the skipper's half drunk in the dog and duck. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. Well, the skipper comes aboard with a girl on his arm. He's gonna give up barging and take on a farm. So the mate ran for it and the cook fell in the dock. The skipper caught his knackers in the main sheet block. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. So the mate set the wheel, but he's jibed her twice, 'cause the skipper's got his knackers in a bowl of ice. Stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. Last we're off down the Limehouse Reach, when a leeboard knocked on the Greenwich Beach. The barge went ashore and scared our whore, and she says, chuck this, I'm off the shore. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. We shoved her off and away we did go, but the skipper's got a bottle of beer below. She fills away with a roar and a crack, but there ain't no bargeman up on her deck. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. Then up comes a mermaid covered in mud, and the skipper says, I think we're off the Whittaker Spit. Up comes another one covered in slime, so we took her down the forecastle and we had a good time. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. On the top of the tide, the barge did fleet, but the mate saw a ghost on the topsail sheet. So away we didn't go, and the ghost did steer, and the cook got in the dregs of the old man's beer. Stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. We lay close hauled around Orford Ness, when the wind back round to the south-southwest. We reached our port all safe and sound, and tied her up in Yarmouth town. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. So after all our fears and alarms, we all ended up in the Druid's arms. And it's stormy weather, boys, stormy weather, boys. When the wind blows, the barge will go. Thank you.
The sun comes over the top of the hill, shines on the fields I've yet to till. My bones are weary, but I know I will, and not just because you ask it. Rake and hoe hung on 20-penny nails, milk lies sweet in a dozen pails, hay piled up in 100 bales, and apples in the basket. A house that's tight to the wind and snow, barn that's full of the things we grow, empty purse, but I don't owe a thing to any man living. A woman warm, a woman kind, a woman who knows her own sweet mind, a woman who knows just what's behind the things she's forgiven. There's branches on the family tree, there's a boy, a girl, and the baby's three. They look like her, they look like me, like folks that's dead and gone now. But I don't care, there's none to bless and none to blame. We're doing in the family's name the work we carry on now. The old gray goose is on the wing, but he'll be back again next spring. Each year same old thing, and the same old wheel goes spinning. When the air is warm and the earth is sweet, and the good clean dirt is on our feet, the circle comes around complete, and the end is the beginning. The sun comes over the top of the hill, shines on the fields I've yet to till. My bones are weary, but I know I will, and not just because you ask it. Rake and hoe hung on 20-penny nails, milk lies sweet in a dozen pails, hay piled up in 100 bales, and apples in the basket.